broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios. This is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
We'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB throughout the championship meet. The Gulfstream Park Championship Meet runs now through the early April Florida Derby weekend, featuring high-quality racing throughout. Once again, we'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship. Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. I am Seth Merrill. Thanks for joining us. A little bit later on, we'll be joined by Ellis Starr, the racing analyst for Equibase, America's Best Racing, and more. He'll cover some of the stakes action today because there are plenty of nice stakes at the various venues. One of those being Tampa Bay, which probably highlights the day with the Sam Davis and a nice undercard of stakes. So I thought, who else to reach out to other than our friend Ren Carruthers? Watching her in the paddock yesterday on a nice Tampa day. Ren, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Seth. Good morning, everybody watching.
And update us a little bit. What's your weather? That I always say when we're up here in upstate New York and we're watching a little Gulfstream and a little Tampa, we live vicariously. So how are we living vicariously weather-wise this afternoon down in Tampa?
Well, it looks like we're going to maybe escape the rain that was forecast. That's the hope. And it's going to be a nice, I believe, 77 degrees, something along those lines. And so I'm looking forward to it, although I will admit I got a bit sunburned yesterday.
There is the yin and the yang, as it were. There's the bad parts about it, but I miss Tampa, and as I say, I live vicariously. Fun track, fun little track. They get nice crowds on days like this. It's always a lot of fun with some nice action. And let's kick it off. Let's talk a little Sam Davis and get some of your thoughts. Three-year-olds going a mile and a 16th in anticipation, obviously, of the Tampa Bay Derby later in the meet. And boy, it's a nice full field in here. I pulled up the replay of the Remsen because I think a lot of people are going to focus on WNL coming out of the win in the Remsen last December. The replay here, going to be the number 7 horse. Danny Gargan, trainee, had Jose Ortiz on board that day. He'll come cross state and be on board again this afternoon. And I think with this Remsen in the holster, WNL is going to, as I say, attract attention. I'm going to take a little pop with Prairie Hawk for Safi Joseph. I think he's interesting. Zydeco coming out of the win in the Pasco. And I'm really intrigued to see what Litigate can do this afternoon for Todd Pletcher. But what are your thoughts in the Sam Davis?
Well, first of all, it's very strange. My laptop just died on me right in front of me, and I don't know why or how. But it just stopped working. So I'm actually a little bit panicked, to be honest with you, about what's going to happen today, this afternoon, because all my notes are on it.
Uh-oh.
I will tell you, I do like Litigate. That's my top pick. I felt that, you know, the debut obviously was impressive. And how he ran, you know, second time out, there's lots of upside with this horse. I thought it was very professional. The thing that caught my eye with the first win, of course, was he looked like a horse that really enjoys his job. He got up and got the lead, he, you know, put his ears up and he's like, yeah, I got it done here. Now with the second time out, obviously that's a harder test. He was in against a horse that was in really good form at that time, Cyclone Mischief. I mean, every horse is entitled to a bad start. So when Cyclone Mischief didn't really, fire the other day, I don't think that's a knock against what the horse had already done. Right. And you know, Litigate, I mean, just a tremendous looking specimen. Great pedigree, the type that you want to see continue to flourish. He's from one of my favorite families in 1X. I mean, I believe it's his fifth dam is a number to count. I'd have to go back and double check to be completely sure. But he was my top pick. The second choice for me is going to actually be Champion's Dream. And the reason being, I felt like this horse, if you watch that replay back in his first start back off the layoff, he really got ping-ponged around out of the gate. And, you know, this is at 7 furlongs also. This is a horse who's bred for 2 turns. He looks like a 2-turn horse. So I feel like he should not be ignored in that regard. And, you know, as far as, you know, completing the top three, I mean, I could see, you know, a number of different ways. I want to give credence to WNL. It's just, you know, obviously the question is this a horse that had like a, you know, just, is, you know, figure things out and he's, you know, getting better with every start. Is it a horse that's moved up because of sloppy field conditions? Is it a horse who moved up because of blinkers? I don't know yet. But at a short price, I don't want to take it.
And you mentioned Champion's Dream, and I had Mark Cassie on before the Pasco, and he had another horse in there too. And I think I liked the other horse. And Mark, you could kind of, he wasn't being, you know, as trainers don't want to do, pick one over the other, but you could kind of tell from the way he was talking, he, I think, favored Champion's Dream. And I thought that was an okay seasonal debut. So I didn't use Champion's Dream, but I'm intrigued to see, and he scares me a little bit. And again,
yeah, watch the head-on replay of the start of the race. He's a bigger type horse, so when a bigger type horse like that gets ping-ponged around, it really takes a minute for them to get their feet back, like, you know, back into stride, into the way that they, you know, were intending to go if they had had a smooth, you know, break from the gate.
Absolutely, and Litigate, you know, you mentioned Cyclone Mischief, seventh in the Holy Bull. That scared me away from him a little bit, but we have to mention Todd. I think, hasn't Todd won about six of these Sam Davises so far?
Well, right. Well, yes, it's something like that. I mean, I don't know the exact number, and I probably should. But, yeah, I mean, he's been tremendously successful in this race. The other thing I will say, I mean, if you look at that debut for Litigate, going back to that, the fourth-placed horse in that race was Slip Mahoney.
Oh.
That horse nearly wired in his next race, and then he got beat just by a neck in his neck, the race out of the race with Litigate. He got beat just a neck there by Tappet Shrice, who then we saw put in that huge performance at Gulfstream in that allowance on the undercard of the Holy Bull.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is class form in there, and I feel like this is a horse with, again, a lot of upside.
Yeah, and that Slip Mahoney and Al Gold horse. Al Gold, of course, Cyberknife last year, and he has a couple of nice three-year-olds this year, including Slip Mahoney. All right, let's go earlier, because I'd like to hear some opinions on the Suncoast as well. There's the obvious horse, and we're going to take a look at the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly and watch number 5 Wonder Wheel win. Again, I had Mark Cassie on at Saratoga last summer, and at that point, he was very high on the horse. When I had him on a few weeks ago, I think at that point she had just had her first work for this season, and he was saying how high he was on her at that point as well. He was aiming for either this race or a race at Gulfstream, and she winds up in the Suncoast. I landed there, but I think Ticker Tape Home, who becomes, you know, quote unquote, the other Mark Cassie runner, I think that one is interesting just on that fact. And on the handicapping show earlier.
You know what's so funny?
Go ahead.
I have in my notes, because it's so funny you just said that, because Ticker Tape Home is my, you know, third pick, because I'm boring here. I hate choosing between either of them, because, Seth, I've cuddled with both of these fillies, and they both have a place in my heart. But, yeah, I did end up going Wonder Wheel, Julia Shining. But then I have in my notes the other Cassie.
Yeah, there you go. And we've all seen it play out so many times that you have to pay attention to that. But I'm also interested to hear, you have Julia Shining right underneath. I put her third, and I talked about her earlier, full sibling to Malathat. And in both of her first two races, the gates open, and about a quarter mile in, you're thinking, well, she's not Malathat. And then they get in the stretch, and you're like, well, maybe she is Malathat. But the buyer numbers are kind of pedestrian, but she's 2 for 2 with two visually impressive performances. I'm really intrigued to see her third start this afternoon.
Oh, I am as well. I just feel like this is a filly who's figuring it out as she goes along, and she just has class enough to get it done every time. It's just so hard, you know, when, like I said, for me, as a handicapper, I try to, you kind of have to put the sentimentality away, obviously, but it's very hard when you already love a particular horse. You feel like you've had a moment with a horse, but when you've had a moment with two horses at the same race, it's even worse. So I'm almost just looking forward to that race simply as a fan.
Yeah, and sometimes you have to do that, and certainly the price on Wonder Wheel is going to be one of those kind of races, but it's going to be fun to see her get off to the 3-year-old
thing. She's so dynamic.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a horse. She can win in any way. She has so much dimension. What she did in the Breeders' Cup was phenomenal. So.
Yeah, and a champion. It's fun to see a champion get back to the races, and we'll look forward to her this year. And as they say, up at Saratoga last year, Mark was already really high on her, and she's lived up to that. So fun addition to the Suncoast with some nice fillies in there that are going to play out clearly on the 3-year-old scene on the filly side going forward. Let's go a little bit earlier, the Pelican. We'll take a look at some sprinters, and I I was master of the obvious in here. I'm going to pull up the Mr. Prospector from December 31st, New Year's Eve. Sebelius gets the job done. And just on the numbers, and I always say buyers are a tool in the toolbox, but I think she has just enough of an edge in here. She's going to be awfully tough. I thought Paco's Pico, a little bit intriguing. And being lightly raced, a very lightly raced five-year-old, Uphold the Law. If I was looking for an upsetter, I might go in that direction. But what were your thoughts in the Pelican?
Well, in the Pelican, I was torn. Originally, I was going to go with Bilius on top. The Mr. Prospector that race was run as fast as shorter sprints, right?
Yeah.
So, obviously, I'm not worried about him turning back from seven here to go to six furlongs for the first time. I mean, this is a really, obviously, capable, fast racehorse. That being said, I don't want to discount Willie Boy. I feel Willie Boy is a horse that's got enough back class, has been in against enough big horses like Jackie's Warrior and such, that in that start last out here, I just felt he was kind of taken out of what he is best at doing. I think that's from coming off the pace. He was pressing. It was like more like a two-horse race last out with him in the Marion County and Octane, and he just could never, you know, bring that horse back in. I think that we're going to see a more honest scenario today, and I think so long as Willie Boy can go back to what we've seen from him just coming off the pace, I think he's a horse who could sort of redeem himself here at Tampa today.
Yeah, and, you know, 3-1 on the morning line. Off the last couple of races, I kind of think you're going to get more value than that. I looked at Willie Boy. And one of the things that may play into the morning line, the trainer's just phenomenal at the meet so far, and so that plays into it, and maybe bettors will look at that. But I have a feeling there's a little more value potentially there. All right, let's go to the Minaret. And another one I'll be interested to hear your thoughts, because I'm going a little bit against the favorite in here, who I said on the handicapping show earlier, she may just outclass this field and run away. And it may just be a clever spot to start her. Bill Mott brings back Caramel Swirl. Hasn't been seen since the Ballerina up here at Saratoga, and goes in a little $50,000 stake over at Tampa. So, again, she may just outclass these. But I'm going to pull up a Tampa Bay race from January 14th. I thought Olivia Darling, with a nice race over the track here, a big win, I thought she comes in for the aforementioned Delgado, who's having the great meet, the trainer. I'm going to tilt in that direction. What are your thoughts in the Minaret?
Well, I'm boring. I did go Caramel Swirl here.
You.
I did, for sure. But, you know, and then I'll tell you, one of the horses I thought was interesting underneath her is now Scratch. So Music City Star, if those of you out there haven't seen the changes yet, she is out of the race with three. But it's, you know, I went Caramel Swirl on top. I also think My Destiny is a horse that's legitimate. I mean, I think some people would discount her simply for the fact of, oh, you know, who did she beat type arguments, but she's beat some good horses actually. And I, you know, you see, for example, the fact that she was second here in our Minaret last year. I mean, you see that she's been in with Obligatory before. You see that she didn't beat her, but she's been in there. American Tap, that race at Gulfstream Park, American Tap was second. She beat her by four lengths. You just mentioned Olivia Darling. Olivia Darling beat American Tap as well in that Gulfstream race on December 29th before she came here to Tampa and drew off the score by seven. So, yeah, I mean, these are horses. You've got some common opponent lines kicking, and these horses make sense. So, I mean, yeah, I'm at this point going to be moving Olivia into the top three to round it out for me. But, yeah, I do think Caramel Swirl, for me, is the legitimate favorite and likely winner.
Yeah, I have no argument. As I say, I may wind up looking crazy there. She may just outclass us.
You've come up with some very good horses at great prices. So.
But it is a fun afternoon. There's no question about it. Highlighted by the Sam Davis, which, again, this time of year, we're all excited about the three-year-olds. Also, I'll remind people, Derby future wagers available this weekend. Do you ever jump into the future pools?
The Derby pools.
Yeah,
I have a friend that I've got to be one of the best. So we kind of powwow every now and then about what we might want to do.
and are you like most of us? I mean, you have to kind of set, you know, I'm looking for 15 or 20 to 1 or more, because I always have to remind people, your horse has to make the starting gate. And, you know, when you're 2 or 3 months out, that becomes a question, big obstacle you have to overcome.
Right. Well, that's the thing, too. I mean, some of these trainers and owners, they take the gamble, right? Nominating sometimes. For example, we have a horse today who's debuting at Tampa for Clamont, who is, again, a first-time starter who's nominated to the Triple Crown. You have to make these decisions, you know, in various, however you're involved in the industry, about if you think a horse has that type of ability or could. I like to look at the physicals of some of the two-year-olds that are coming out and try to get a jump on it. Look at the pedigrees. Is this a classic pedigree? You know, you try to get into the margin there where it's an okay gamble based on the potential return. Obviously, that's what we're always looking for, right? ROI.
Yeah, no question about it. And now that they've expanded the field, Churchill has expanded the field, you can get some juicier odds maybe than you have in previous years with the more limited betting opportunities. So it's definitely a fun. I jump in too. I play around and take a shot at some all others when you get to some of the later pools and they can offer some money. And typically as they get into the starting gate, I might have six or seven live in there on future pools. And that offers some opportunity to then play around in other directions as well. So, yeah, I'd recommend people taking a look at the future action. And part of that today will play into don't make your future bets until you watch the Sam Davis, because you want to see how your horses make out. If you like horses running there. And again, it is a nice, full, competitive field and a really nice card. Looking forward to it. And looking forward to your commentary in the paddock as well. Always enjoy that, Ren, and enjoy the conversation this morning. And we'll talk again.
Thank you so much, Seth. All the best in all your bets.
Appreciate it. Ren Carruthers, again, you see her in the paddock this weekend down at Tampa and doing all the pre-race commentary throughout the Tampa season. And again, I'm envious because it's been too long since I've been down at Tampa, but I'll have to change that sooner rather than later. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, as promised a little bit earlier, we'll be joined by Ellis Starr when we come back. He's also going to take a look at some of the stakes action from the various venues around the country today. Really nice day of racing. Let me hit you with some promos before we do that, because we have a couple of nice promos coming up as far as here at the Racebook tomorrow on Big Game Sunday, but there's also a Fan Appreciation Day today. So let me remind you or alert you to that. The Lawrence Street Tavern, Easy Bet, up in Glens Falls. Love to have you swing by today. Fan Appreciation Day. Food, contest, vouchers. They're always a lot of fun, the Fan Appreciation Days. And again, Lawrence Street Tavern in Glens Falls today. Swing by this afternoon. If you're a patron there, give us our chance to say thank you to you. And I wanted to pull out the promos because tomorrow it'll be a lot of fun here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Big game day tomorrow at the Racebook. Early on, there's an OTB live bankroll. I'll have $300 to play on behalf of the bankroll team out in the front portion of the clubhouse tomorrow. So show up, put your name in the hat early in the day. We'll pick the team at about 1 o'clock. I'll probably start playing at about 12:30 and go to maybe 4 or 4:30 with the bankroll. Team splits up the proceeds at the end of the day. And then a little bit later on, you can see it there, 6:30 to 10:30. We dedicate the race book to the big game. All the TVs will have the game on, Eagles versus the Chiefs. Fredella's, our food vendor here, $10 pizzas, 50-cent wings, and more. Great menu. So it'll be a lot of fun here tomorrow, Sunday, big game day here at the Racebook. Bankroll early, big game late. It should be a really, really fun day here. Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. All right. We will take a break now. And as promised, when we return, we'll be joined by our friend Ellis Starr. More stakes analysis coming up. Stay tuned.
This is a championship meet. All the best jockeys in the world are here, and I'm excited to ride against them. You get to watch some really incredible, talented athletes out there.
To us, it's a place to be in the winter.
I love Gulfstream Park because of the racing.
The palm trees, the beach is right here. The horse racing is some of the best in the country.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are.
Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, joined now by our friend Ellis Starr from America's Best Racing, Equibase, and more, talking a little stakes action on this Saturday afternoon. Ellis, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Good morning, racing fans.
You and I were talking before we went on the air. I lamented on the air a couple weeks ago. I just ran second in an NHC qualifier a couple of weeks ago with a bad beat story, and I was kind of talking to you about that. But you're going to be headed out to Vegas. At, you know, we've talked to you out there before with the race lens and whatnot, and you're going to be out there. I'm envious. That's always a lot of fun. It literally is like the Horse Players Convention out there, the National Handicapping Championship in Vegas.
The energy level is phenomenal, and last year I was lucky to play for the first time, even though I played in the Charity Challenge for many years, and I'm still hoping to qualify, but it's tough. I've got like 7,500 points. There's a way to get in on points if you don't finish in the top three in a tournament. But I'd have to win. I'd have to earn enough points to win anyway this weekend if I played in a couple contests. But it's going to be fun. It's always great. And now that it's later in the year, the second week of March. The weather's going to be pretty nice as well. So I'm sorry you're not going to be able to join us.
Yeah, I'm envious. As I say, we've gone out there and covered it a couple of times, and it's been a lot of fun. And we've had the opportunity to root for some upstate people, some local people have done well in the contest over the years, and that's always fun. Of course, the Matisse brothers are always prominent players there and always a lot of fun. But envious, and I wish you good luck in your last chances. I may take a last chance this weekend as well, see if I can go out as a player. But part of that action will be this afternoon at Tampa. We'll also take a look at the Withers, and you have an idea maybe at Gulfstream as well. So let's jump in and get some thoughts on some of the stakes action. And let's start with the Sam Davis. And when I went online and looked at your analysis, I liked it because I'm also going to take a shot against W&L, and I'm doing it with Prairie Hawk. And I'm going to pull up the Tampa Bay race from January 13th. Number four will be Prairie Hawk. Safi Joseph Runner has had a couple of starts so far at Tampa, a couple of wins, including this one back on January 13th. I'm going to take my shot there. W&L second, third spot, I thought Zydeco. Litigate to me is very interesting. And Classic Car Wash is a horse at a big price that I may throw into the mix. But I'm taking a shot with Prairie Hawk, and it looks like from reading your analysis, you also are going in that direction for a little bit of an upset.
Yeah, we're really close here. Let me start with who you mentioned, Classic Car Wash. He's definitely going to be on the bottom of some tickets. Cassie won the race in 2018 with Flame Away off a seven-month layoff, so this is no layoff at all. Cassie's also got Champion Dream second off the layoff as well, who ran second to Zydeco, who's back in the race. But I'm trying to stay inside here. If I say this right, was it W&L? You know, there's nothing wrong with the horse. The Remsen historically has been horrible as an indicator of three-year-old form. I mean, we remember we all made fun of Romney Invasion a decade or so ago and all those horses that ran badly. But I have somewhere in the analysis, which again is free at echobase.com, made a note, and I think it's been one, maybe one horse out of, if I wrote it down, it's one out of the last 12 that ran well. Mohammed won the Holy Bull. Catholic Boy ran second in this race. Honor Code ran second in the allowance race. Shotsky ran second in the Withers. But it's been a really poor race to judge their first race back. Now, it doesn't mean the horse can't run well, and especially when you think of 9 to 5 or less. I can't go there. Prairie Hawk's on a great pattern, improving Echo-Based Speed Figures 67 in the sprint, then 84 to 91, the race over the track. I'm not worried about Lasik coming off because he won the race before that, a two-turn race at Tampa without Lasik. The pattern is really good. His dam-produced Quip, who made $1 million, won the Tropical Derby in 2018. He's got a good post, Sammy Camacho, the 46-4 workout. Sappy Joseph keeps the horse at Palmetto's, ships him over for the win on 12-2. He probably had this race in mind the whole time. Back to Palmetto's, comes back on January 13th, ships the horse back to Gulfstream Park, has the 46-2 workout, and then comes back in. So there's a lot to like. I think 6-1, I'll be asking for a lot. I think we'll get 4, but I'll take it. Litigate, again, the post isn't that great, but it's Todd. Shipping in off a decent work at Palm Beach, which is a real deep and tiring course. Best of 31, gets Saez, who also rode Worthington for Maker, picks Pletcher. You'd expect him to do that. Pletcher ran second in the Tampa Derby with Outshine on a pattern of a one-turn to a two-turn race. Cycle of Mischief, the winner of that race that Litigate comes out of, did bounce pretty bad in the Holy Bull, but I kind of expected that. I didn't like him last week. And then you mentioned a couple of them. I'll add Groveland, who ran second, Prairie Hawk, second from start to finish pretty much in that race, but he could be good for Exotics, and he's going to be probably double digits. Worthington, who I mentioned, I like Maker going turf to dirt, shipping in again. The horse does have the dam, who's by Monarcos, by the way, produced 2 dirt route winners. So I think Worthington at 20-1 is a horse to use underneath as well. But Prairie Hawk's going to be in my win bet.
I'm right with you, Prairie Hawk. And the horse that intrigues me is Litigate. And I've now heard a couple of people and saying kind of similar to what you said. They're maybe throwing out that Cyclone Mischief poor performance in the Holy Bull as a barometer. I use that to put the horse in fourth because I debated putting Litigate on top, but I thought, boy, Cyclone Mischief just went in the wrong direction in such a fashion I couldn't. Plus, you get the outside post position at the mile and a 16th. That's not a bonus as well. But I'm really intrigued to see what Litigate does this afternoon.
Yeah, I think he's got a good future, but he's by Blame out of a mineshaft mare, run all day. And he was pretty game in holding off Mr. Ripple by a nose for third. So if you take out Cyclone Mischief, that was a pretty good race. And, it's Todd. And his, by the way, his Echo-Based Speed Figure I didn't mention was 92. So it's the same as Prairie Hawk. And Litigate's actually interesting because the pattern, when you think, we talk sometimes, about figures, whether it's Thoroughgraph or Buyer or Echo-Based. But Litigate's got back-to-back 92s. So that kind of pattern usually suggests a big jump up. I just don't think you're going to get 5-1 on him either. I think he's going to be more like 5-2 because it's Pletcher.
Yeah, exactly. The Suncoast, one race earlier for the 3-year-old fillies. I'm intrigued to hear your opinion here. I went with Wonder Wheel. I had Mark Cassie on last summer. He was high on the horse then. I had him on a few weeks ago right after she had her first workout of the year. He continued to be very high. She subsequently picks up the Eclipse Award. He picks this spot. He was looking at this one or a race over at Gulfstream. That said, I think Ticker Tape Home is intriguing. And I'm going to pull up the Demoiselle, and we're going to watch Julia Shining, the number 3 horse. And I talked about this race a little earlier already. I talked about the Suncoast. And I mentioned Julia Shining, to me, is the horse that I'm looking forward to the return of Wonder Wheel, yes. But Julia Shining, we can see here in the Demoiselle on the outside, the 2 performances so far, crazy visually impressive. The Buyer numbers, though, don't jump off the page. Full sibling to Malathat. I am looking now for this third race in the career to help me define Julia Shining a little bit. But as I say, I put Wonder Wheel on top. What are your thoughts on the Suncoast?
Well, this is just an incredible race. And, you know, not only is this a good race to think about, but it's also important to think about this race in terms of the Oaks, you know. And let me real quick say that Litigate worked in company, it looks like, with Julius Shining February 4th, where Litigate worked best of 31, Julius Shining worked 18th of 31. But that doesn't matter because the horse has no speed. So I'll talk about her first. She's not my top pick. My top pick is going to be Ticker Tape Home, you mentioned. But Julia Shining, you know, we knew she was a king when I was there live. She hated getting dirt in her face. She wasn't going nowhere until Saeed pulled her out to about the free path where there was no dirt. And then she just took off like a rocket from ninth to first. And then in the last race, the same thing. Not a great start. She's been winning on talent. Fletcher won the Ashland in 2021 at Keeneland off a four-month layoff from a Demoiselle winner. So this is a little less of a layoff, but, I mean, this is Todd, you know, pure and simple. You're getting the value, though. Wonder Wheel, you know, the old, I guess you probably know this, Seth, and most people listening know this, the age-old adage is, boy, a grade one winner and not graded race on the comeback, that is not a good bet. And just on principle, I'm going to put Wonder Wheel in exotics, but I'm not nowhere near betting her to win because this race is not important one iota. Ticker Tape Home is incredibly interesting, and it's Cassie's other horse at 8-1. That race in the display last year got a 96 Echo Base figure, which is the best figure earned by any horse in the field. Wonder Wheel got a 94 in the Alcibiades, then 88 in the Juvenile Filly. This was a fast race, and of course, she should run even better around two turns, Medaglia d'Oro out of a Warfront mare. Cassie won the 2018 Tampa Bay Derby with Helium off a 4.5 month layoff, which I hated that day. So here's Cassie getting this horse back. They have not been working together necessarily. They did work together on the 25th. Of January, but then he gave Wonder Wheel another work on February 2nd, which is another question mark, by the way. And I think Ticker Tape Home is great. She also lost the lead and came back. She was just game the last eighth. She gets Gallardo. I like the value at 8-1. I like Opus 42, the two horse, 1-2 for Delacour. Mendelssohn, just great. The second, I guess it's his first prop, 3-year-old now. Very good, won the prep at Gasparilla over the track, which Delacour won the 2020 version of this race with Lucrezia on the stretch out, an identical pattern, a different stakes race, though, and you're getting 10-1. So my plan, by the way, is to take Opus 42 and Ticker Tape Home, the 2 and the 8, and then play them over the 1, 2, 8, 9, throwing in Wonder Wheel and Julius Shining, then reverse it. This is the main exacta play for me, not really win bets. 1-2-8-9 over 2-8, 2-8 over 1-2-8-9, maximized value with the two decent price horses. If the favorites beat them, okay. If the favorites come 1-2, I lose, but there's no value in that bet anyway.
I like it. And I mentioned it earlier on the show, Ticker Tape Home, the quote-unquote longer half of the uncoupled entry. We always know how dangerous those always are. I always say the trainer knows what he has with both of them, so that he entered both of them is intriguing. All right, let's take a look elsewhere, and let's go over to Aqueduct for the Withers, another three-year-old stakes race that is intriguing in that it's this time of year and three-year-olds were on the Derby trail. So the Withers Grade 3 event, $250,000, 9 furlongs the trip. I'm going to pull up the Oaklawn December 17th allowance optional claimer. We're going to see Hit Show get it done for Brad Cox in fine fashion. That they elect to come up here off a bullet work at Oaklawn attracted my attention. I went in that direction. Arctic Arrogance goes out for Linda Rice with a pretty good resume. 5 times in the exact and 5 career starts. 90% Maddie, I thought, was potentially a little bit interesting coming up from Parks. Andiamo a Firenze started the career with some promise, but boy, that Jerome performance on January 7th left me a little cold, so I wasn't sure about putting that one in the mix. But for me, Hit Show, as I say, Brad Cox coming up, lightly raced coming up from the win at Oaklawn is the direction I'm going. Your thoughts in the Withers?
Yeah, this is another great race. I love three-year-olds, and this race as well as the other ones we just talked about are all on different blogs. People check it out on Twitter at UberCapper. You can find the links to those blogs. I was looking for a horse to go with the Two Chalks hit show and Arctic Arrogance, and I came up with 90% Maddie. Really done nothing wrong. I mean, the first three races of his career were all wins. Yeah, they were parks, but they were pretty impressive. 3.5 and 7.5. Been the Pennsylvania Nursery. Didn't really have the kick to finish. Don't know what happened. But then when coming back out in the Parks Juvenile, got back in a decent form. Ran second, almost paired equibase figures of 89 and 86. Very interesting breeding. This horse has a full name, 90% Bryn. Apparently the owner likes using 90% and maybe grandkids' names here. 90% Bryn was first or second in 10 of 19, won all the $300,000, won four route races. Reed won the Delaware Oaks in 2020, so he knows how to train. He's 9-28 stretching out the last 3 years. One win and one second in three. This is from Racelens, by the way, which you talked about earlier. He shipped to Aqueduct and stretched out in the last 2 years three times with one win and one second. And you know Bob Reed's a good trainer anyway. He went to 20% with a lot of stakes on his circuit. But his shipping is just fine. And I think she's just as fast. Now, Hitchio got a 90 figure for that win in Oaklawn you talked about. And as I said, 90% Maddie, 89 and 86. There's just no reason 90% Maddie should be 8-1 in my mind. So I'm going to key Fox, 90% Maddie with Hitchio with Arctic Arrogance. Arctic Arrogance is interesting. I wrote a note circling the blinkers on, will it help? Because when you look at his Bertram Bongard, where he had the lead by two lengths and ended up second. You look at his Remsen, where he was ahead from the lead at the eighth pole and got beat a half. You look at his Jerome, where he was ahead from the lead, got beat a half. If the blinkers do the job, he could win. And again, it's a Remsen horse. He's already had his comeback out of the Remsen. And he's stretching back out to 9 furlongs, so he's already proven at that. But I think 90% Maddie's a great win bet at 8-1, and I'm going to box the 6-4 with Hitchio and 6-1 with Arctic Arrogance.
I like it. All right, and finally, let's move over to Gulfstream, the Gulfstream Park Turf Sprint this afternoon. I went with Caratari on top just because of the Gulfstream Park record, but I'm kind of master of the obvious there. Right underneath, though, I used Belgrano, and I pulled up a replay of the Janus going back to December 24th. Belgrano is going to be the number 8 horse here, and a gutsy performance gets up by a head under Paco Lopez. So I thought those two were a little bit interesting. I had them 1-2. The Critical Way on a best effort could be an intriguing player in here as well. Full disclosure for Elizabeth Dobles coming off the win on the Gulfstream Park turf at this 5-furlong trip last time also intrigues me a little bit. Yes, I Am Free won this race last year. Those situations usually attract me. I wasn't quite sure where to go in that direction, though. But what are your thoughts in the Gulfstream Park turf sprint?
Well, first, I think it's a fantastic betting race.
Yeah.
I could see Belgrano being 2-1, but he was 10-1 last time out. And so I'm going to use him, but in exact as in tries. But I'm starting with Full Disclosure. When you get a horse that's in top form and hot like this horse is, you can't ignore it. 4-for-9 last year, would be going for his fourth win in a row if he hadn't lost by a neck. That last was his first turf sprint ever at 5 furlongs, and he ran fantastically well with Reyes, who's riding back. It turned out to be a key race. The second horse came back to win. I think two others did as well. The figures are 106 and 107. Last year when Yes, I Am Free won the race, he got a 111. Before that, he ran fourth in the Janus to Caratari with a 102. So Full Disclosure is coming into the race with faster races than last year's winner, and you're getting 10-1 for a trainer who's just phenomenal. Dobles, I like everything. I've been one of the few automatic notifications I have is Dobles first off a claim. I just blindly bet everything off the claim for her right now at Gulfstream. Shecky Shabazz. So we're going even higher now because Full Disclosure was 10. Shecky Shabazz is 15. Shecky Shabazz has made $526,000 in his career. He's not off form. He ran second in October, won the four last in a turf sprint off a almost 7-month layoff. And now he's coming back off a three-month layoff. He moved to Marty Drexler, who popped with a big one yesterday with Castellano, who's riding this horse. And then Castellano won the nightcap with a horse that got bet down from 30-1. It was a bad morning line to 5-1. But Shecky Shabazz, he's not won in 2 years, but he's got 5 seconds in 9 races. It's not like he's running bad. And you're getting this ridiculous price of 15-1 on a horse that could pop here. And he also put in a 47 and change half-mile workout. Two in a row, actually. Two half-mile 47 workouts. So I'm hoping the public doesn't see any of what I just said. And I'm going to bet Full Disclosure and Shecky Shabazz to win. And then I'm going to play a four-horse exact and trifecta box with Shecky Shabazz, Full Disclosure, Yes I Am Free, and Belgrano, and hoping that Belgrano is the one that doesn't hit the board. But with the three of those being 6, 10, 15 on the morning line. And Yes I Am Free, by the way, he was fourth, as I said, in the Janus before he won this race. This year he comes into the race off a win. So 6-1 is a little too hard to ignore on a horse that's 7-14 on the Gulfstream Turf Course.
I think you're absolutely right, though. It is a fun race and should be a good betting race as well. And you mentioned, plugging in the alert with the trainer stats. Is that a function of race lens?
Yeah, with virtual stable, you can make your own notes. But with race lens, you can pick an angle. Like, you can set up an angle that you're looking for anyway, which is first off a claim. And then you can say, send me an email when... either an in-app message which pops up as a badge, or actually an email that says, tell me when a horse has entered that meets this criteria.
I like that. And we've talked about it. We've had you on talking about it before, but it's probably time we should schedule a visit sometime to revisit introducing people to Race Lens, because, again, it's a great product. When you come on, you're always tossing out some stats, but I think it is a very beneficial to handicappers, you know, from when you and I first got into the game. And when you pull out, you go into the storage locker and pull out an old racing form, you think, how was I handicapping with this caveman amount of information? It's a totally different world now, and products like Race Lens make part of that big difference.
Yeah, and just to plug a little bit, we're going to have some of the GPS data, which is now being captured as we scale up, that we just started at NYRA as of January 1st. All those races are in the database of Santa Anita's being captured, Oaklawn's being captured. So there's going to be GPS-related angles available probably in the third or fourth quarter of this year, where you can look and you can do something like, okay, show me the horse with the highest velocity in the stretch, how that horse does next time out, cutting back, stuff like that, which is, you know, a lot of the people that do analysis can do that now on their own, but without having to pay thousands of dollars to hire a programmer.
Very good, very good. And maybe that's we'll talk about it in the meantime, but maybe that's something, if you're headed up to Saratoga this summer, we could have you sit down with us on the backstretch and kind of preview, because it sounds like by that time of year, you guys will be well into getting that either launched or right around the corner.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll definitely, if we're close to that, I'll pitch it to the powers to be.
Sounds good. And Ellis, again, appreciate the visit this morning. If we don't talk to you in the meantime, have a great trip out to Vegas. As I say, I'm envious, but good luck this afternoon and beyond.
Thanks. I hope everybody has a great day. And don't forget, you can get all this written analysis just by going to my Twitter account, and all the links are there.
Excellent. We have the Twitter on the screen while we were talking, at Uber Capper, so you can check that out as well. Ellis, appreciate the visit.
Take care, Seth. Thanks, everybody.
All right, Ellis Starr, again, National Racing Analyst for Equibase. You can see his work on America's Best Racing and beyond. We'll take a break. When we come back, we will hit some news and notes. I'll give you a little reminder, and the PPs are up for the Derby Future Pool this weekend, which should be a lot of fun. And all of that coming up right after this. Stay tuned.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player? To have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
This is a championship meet. All the best jockeys in the world are here, and I'm excited to ride against them.
We back.
And you get to watch some really incredible, talented athletes out there.
Yeah. To us, it's a place to be in the winter.
I love Gulfstream Park because of the racing.
The palm trees, the beach is right here. The horse racing is some of the best in the country.
A lot of good horses come out of here. And if you want to go to the next level, Gulfstream Park was the place to come.
I remember the first time I came to Gulfstream. It was like this big fairy tale place. All the history. And all these great horses, trainers, jockeys. It was everything I ever dreamed of.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. Seth Merrill in the studio. Thanks for joining us. As always, one of the news items I wanted to bring up, and I tweeted yesterday, Sean Clancy did a nice tribute to trainer Pat Kelly, announced his retirement, hasn't started a horse in a few weeks, but announced his retirement earlier this week. Pat Kelly, a longtime fixture in New York racing. And as I say, I tweeted out, Sean Clancy had pulled up an old article from the Saratoga Special focusing on Pat Kelly as kind of a tribute to Pat in his retirement, and certainly wishing Pat the best. The son of Hall of Fame trainer Tommy T.J. Kelly, Pat trainer of Evening Attire and other very nice horses, and a long career. Had a lot of fun over the years having Pat sit in with us occasionally up at Saratoga. Always a lot of fun. And yesterday I was looking for some video, and I was actually looking for some video of Evening Attire. And on YouTube I came across a video Naira did probably 10, 12 years ago, kind of a Pat Kelly profile. And so for younger folks who maybe aren't as familiar with Pat Kelly as those of us who have been around the New York racing game for a while, I thought I'd pull this up, just about 3 minutes or so, but a little profile of trainer Pat Kelly, again, having announced his retirement earlier this week. And as I say, for those of us who have been around a while, it's a reminder of the Pat Kelly career. And for newer folks, it's just a throwback reminder of one of the, as I say, fixtures on the New York racing scene. So here it is, again, from probably 10, 12 years ago, put together by the New York Racing Association, a profile of trainer Pat Kelly.
Being from the Kelly family is actually it's a big help. We've all dabbled in and out of it. I originally wasn't going to be a trainer. Went to college, graduated college, and ended up coming back to the track after college, and worked with my dad for 7-8 years in the 70s, and went on my own in 1978. So, but there was no real pressure. It was neat to do. Everybody in the family pitched in. My sister clocked horses. My brothers worked at the track when we were young. So it was fun, and once I got into it and got doing it, I've always enjoyed it and kept at it all these years. We take our time with them all. That's one thing Pop told me. Take your time, give them a chance to mature and grow up and, you know, come on their own when they're ready. So that's what we try to do. Some people think my middle name is Patience, but it's Joseph. It's an old saying, but you know, we're horsemen. We need to always care for the horses and take care of the horses. They can't tell us what's going on, and so it's an observation skill. You know, check the legs all the time, see how they're eating. I like to feed myself sometimes in the afternoons to see. You know, I learned that long ago from Alan Jerkins, hanging around with him. He loves feeding his horses in the afternoon to see how they're acting, how they're feeling, how they're eating. It's kind of little things. Maybe you have to pick up the little things. He was quite a horse. He knew what he had his own mind and did his own thing and loved what he did, and was actually pretty easy to train because he took good care of himself. He didn't like a track or a a type of track or a surface or something when we shift him somewhere or to the Breeders' Cup. He just cruise around, finish fourth or fifth. When he got back here to Aqueduct or Saratoga, he find himself in the winner's circle again. Trivia fact for evening attire. He only ate gala apples. He didn't like Delicious or whatever, Macintosh. Pop figured out he only liked galas. I think the biggest change that I've seen over the many years that I've been doing this is the horses don't run as much now as they used to. Not as much activity sometimes. You know, horses like to run, they like to train. That's what they're bred to do. If it's not hurting them, racing doesn't hurt them. People should, I think, run them more. Bandages, no bandages, a lot going on, horses shipping in and out, paperwork. It's, probably should have a secretary, but I don't, so. I don't know. Hard-working guy, did a good job, won some nice races. We were lucky enough to win some nice races, and we won some small races for other people, and you know, it's just, if I get my daughter through college in a couple of years, we'll be relaxed, take it easy, we hope. Been doing it a long time, and it's been pretty rewarding.
Nice little piece on Pat Kelly there. Again, announced his retirement earlier this week. Player, you know, beyond being a trainer, as I say, a longtime fixture in the New York racing scene, served on the board of the Take the Lead program, which plays into the retired horses angle that has become prominent in New York racing. Folks like Rick Schosberg and, of course, Rick Violette, but Pat Kelly, important there as well. Also prominent as far as programs for the backstretch workers. So Pat's been really an integral part of the New York racing scene for years and years. Pat's lifetime stats, 8,795 starts, 877 victories, $42 million plus in purses. Evening Attire, who was mentioned there, Sultry Song, Solar Splendor, Naughty New Yorker. Evening Attire, again, Pat's dad was T.J. Kelly, the Hall of Famer. T.J. and Joe Grant bred Evening Attire, and they were part owners. So it was kind of a family situation with T.J. owning Evening Attire and Pat training. And Evening Attire, 69 starts, 15 wins, 16 seconds, 9 thirds, almost $3 million in earnings. Evening Attire throughout the career won graded stakes up at Saratoga Breeders' Cup Handicap in 2004. 2002, won that race and the Jockey Club Gold Cup, won the Red Smith as well in 2002. Evening Attire, just a really great racehorse trained by Pat Kelly, and a winner, again, almost $3 million. So wish Pat Kelly the best in retirement. I'm sure he'll still be bouncing around and visible at the racetrack from time to time. And maybe we'll get him, if we can, up at Saratoga again at some point. Because, as I say, over the years, that's been a lot of fun. All right, just as we wrap things up, do want to remind you there is a future pool available, Derby future pool available this weekend. It will close tomorrow at 6 o'clock. And the past performances are available. If you go to KentuckyDerby.com, and the top of the page there is a wager drop-down menu. You hover over that, it drops down. You'll see Kentucky Derby Future Wager. Click on that, and then just look for this weekend's date. And when you click on that, you can pull up free PPs. And I mentioned it earlier, these days they now have the expanded betting menu of 40. So 39 individual entrants and 40 is all others. I pulled up currently the live odds, which you can find on KentuckyDerby.com too. First, as I scroll down the list, I found Banishing a little bit surprising. Banishing for Brendan Walsh, a couple of starts, but a big win on December 26th down at Fairgrounds. Yes, but two starts and one big maiden win, 17 to 1. One of the shorter prices on there. I thought that was a little bit intriguing. I'll tell you, if I'm shopping around, that is not one I'm jumping on readily at 17 to, you know, if you could have gotten 40 to 1, but 17 to 1 looks a little short with a horse with that record. Obviously, Forte, short price at 6 to 1. Other horses that are taking a little bit of action. Who's your filly? That's another one, 10 to 1 on a filly. So there are special requirements, you know, now in place to get, they've got to get points. So it's a little bit of a different situation than it was, you know, 10 years ago or beyond for a filly to get in. So that one's, as they say, just getting in the starting gate, you have to look at the odds there. 10 to 1 on Who's Your Filly seems, again, a little short. Instant Coffee, Al Gold's runner for Brad Cox, 16 to 1. That I kind of get, that price. Tap It Trice. This is a little bit surprising. Off the big win last week, but still has to get points. You know, Todd Pletcher said after that win the other day down at Gulfstream, they look at stakes action. So they're clearly aiming in that direction, and the horse looked great. 13 to 1, though. Clearly one of the shorter prices on here off of that big performance the other day. And All Others to me is very attractive now. Now, I will say, All Others isn't as potent as it used to be because of the expanded betting opportunities. But still, All Others right now is 4 to 1. So I thought that one was intriguing. And don't forget, All Others at this point includes any Bob Baffert 3-year-old because they're not making the list at this point. They don't have Derby points. So 4 to 1 to me on All Others, and that this is one you'll have to kind of wait until you get to maybe 4 or 5 o'clock tomorrow to see if the 4 to 1 holds up. But if it does, All Others to me is very, very intriguing. So fun. I'm getting a little audio from my upstairs monitor there. Let me turn that down. So again, the Derby Future Pool, you can pull up the free PPs. It's available until about 6 o'clock tomorrow night. And I'll jump in because I listed the short prices. There are some longer. Victory Formation for Brad Cox, 23 to 1. The one that is probably more intriguing to me and at the odds most intriguing, Verifying, comes out of a nice optional claiming win down in Oaklawn for Brad Cox. Verifying, 45 to 1. And I listed some of the shorter prices. There are some nice prices in the mix of horses that have shown a little bit of ability, and you can get, you know, in this pool, I'm, as I said earlier, I'm looking for 20 to 1 or beyond because you still got to get to the gate, which at this point in February becomes a big question mark. So have a little fun. Maybe jump in and take a look over the next couple of days, Derby Future Pool. All right, let me remind you once again today, the Lawrence Street Tavern in Glens Falls. We have a fan appreciation day. You can stop by there this afternoon. Food, vouchers, contests, should be a lot of fun. Lawrence Street Tavern in Glens Falls, fan appreciation day this afternoon. Stop by and let us say thank you to you for your patronage. Tomorrow, Clubhouse Racebook, we have a OTB live bankroll at the Clubhouse Racebook tomorrow, Sunday. Show up early, put your name in the hat, see if you can get picked for randomly picked for the bankroll team. I'll play during the afternoon for the bankroll team at the various venues, and we'll try to knock it out of the park and juice up the bankroll so everybody has a nice something-something at the end of the day. And at the end of the day, we turn all the TVs in the race book over to the big game. And 6:30 to 10:30 tomorrow, Fredella's Sports Bar, our food vendor down here, who you can come and enjoy anytime for some lunch or some dinner. Tomorrow they will have $10 pizzas and 50 cent wings as part of the big game party. The Eagles and the Chiefs facing off. As I say, come on down, get a seat on the main floor, watch the big game here. Bring your friends. Be a great place if you want to get together with your friends. Great spot to do it. Tomorrow, big game day. Bankroll early, big game football action later on, Clubhouse Racebook Sunday, all day into the evening, 7-Eleven Central Avenue right here in Albany. All right, I'm Seth Merrill. This has been Racing Across America. I can see they're just about ready to fire up the pregame show down at NYRA, so we'll send you down in that direction. And then stay tuned because I'll be back not too long down the road for OTB Live for Saturday afternoon, and we'll take a look at some of that Tampa action, certainly some Aqueduct, some Gulfstream. Maybe we'll throw some Oaklawn into the mix as well. Should be a fun Saturday afternoon into Saturday evening as well. Looking forward to it. Really appreciate your tuning in this morning, and I will once again invite you to be back in probably an hour and a half or so as we'll kick off OTB Live for a Saturday afternoon. We'll see you then. We'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB throughout the championship meet. The Gulfstream Park Championship Meet runs now through the early April Florida Derby weekend, featuring high-quality racing throughout. Once again, we'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.